wanna know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 187 of the Geocaching Podcast, January Cacher Coffee. I'm your host, XPunkX. If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444. Our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now button to participate. We have a voicemail line, and that can be found at 206-350-3GPS. And we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GC Podcast. This episode is sponsored by listeners like you. Thank you for your donations. Well, guys, it's going to be an interesting show tonight because Daryl's actually out of town and Montu couldn't make it in tonight either. So it's a cacher coffee. So it should be a good one because it's going to be an open line. But it always happens when one's gone, they both end up going. And so this might actually be an interesting show here by myself. Now, you know, lots has happened since last week. We've got a lot of news items. Before we actually get into the official meat of the show here tonight, I want to talk a little bit about what the Cacher Coffee is. If you've never joined us for Cacher Coffee, what it is it's basically like sitting around your local coffee shop and talking with your caching friends. It's kind of an open topic. Anyone can participate. Anyone can bring in any topics that they want to talk about. So with that, you know, normally we talk a little bit about what's going on in our week here. So I'll let you know what's going on here. First off, I do want to tell you that I got a really great prize in the mail. I don't want to call it a prize, a package in the mail this week from Cash Advance. And she found out we were doing our Cacher Coffee this week. So she sent me some of their Cacher Crave coffee. And that's actually really good coffee. I like it. It's decent. But so I decided to brew a little bit of that up here before the show. Now, as far as caching goes, this week I hit a few caches with my test Magellan Explorer 610. And that's been really interesting for me. You know, I'm used to doing on the Garmin, and the Magellan is just an interesting type of thing. I'm getting used to the whole a different way they do things. You know, when you get used to a certain manufacturer, you get used to them. And with this, it's taking a little bit to get used to. I like it. I've crashed it a few times, but I do definitely like the Explorer 610. It's a nice unit to have. If you're an earth cacher, you may be interested in to know that the guidelines for earth caching have been updated as of January 1st, 2011. The biggest change is that requests for photographs must be optional. Exceptions to this guideline will only be considered if the requested photograph is related to an earth science logging activity, such as recording a phenomenon. This particular guideline was updated on January 1st, 2011. All earth caches must conform to this guideline as photo requests are considered additional logging requirements and follow the guidelines set forth by geocaching.com. Existing earth caches that do not meet this requirements must be updated to comply. Geocache owners may not delete the cacher's log based solely on optional tasks. Cacheberry version 3.5 is now available. Some changes are a fix for nearest cache search from geocaching.com option, revamped user interface, now has a cleaner, more modern look, and a sliding screen transitions if you have OS 5.0 and above. An improved field notes list now displays the multi-line summaries, including a photo, thumbnails. Full lists can also, for these updates, can be found in our show notes. Spot unveils revolutionary new Spot Connect for smartphones. Spot Connect provides connectivity to global communication satellites for sending location-based messages from around town or areas outside of cellular coverage. We talked about Spot before as far as the spot that can send messages. We've talked about it with the DeLorme PN60, but now by simply downloading the Spot Connect app, Spot Connect wirelessly syncs via Bluetooth with smartphone operating systems like Android. Spot messages feature are then initiated using the Spot Connect app on the smart device. You can update your social networks, including Facebook, Twitter, Spot Adventures from a remote location. Spot Connect retails for about $169, and plus is required. There's a required annual subscription, and that starts at $99.99 a year, and is scheduled to begin shipping in January.
Geocaching question of the day. The Bad Cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is The Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Recently, I've asked the question, have you used the favorite feature to mark geocaches? 83% of the merrily clicking geocachers that replied said yes, they have already marked their favorites on geocaching.com. So tell me, have you used the favorite feature to mark geocaches on geocaching.com? Want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingnw.com, and follow me, The Bad Cop, on Twitter.
All right, tonight, like I said, is going to be a cacher coffee, which is kind of just a open forum type of thing. So we're going to have an open line. Anyone who's dialed in can talk. The number is 724-444-7444. And our talkcast ID is 7525. So again, everyone's mic is going to be open tonight. So you may hear a little bit of people talking in the background. And I apologize if I have to mute your line if there's too much stuff going on. But so everyone else can hear. But like I said, everyone is on the line and open. If for some reason I miss you when you dial in, go ahead and press the *8 key, and that will get you in our request, and I'll go ahead and open it up. Now, the first topic that I want to bring up tonight is we had somebody email us, and Anna says that she wrote to us and said that they have a cacher in their local area who has a lot of hides. He recently archived a lot of them, most of the ones that he had hid, actually, and resubmitted them as new, updated caches. They're in the same areas, and she confesses that she hasn't gone out to find them, but the coordinates are almost the same. And she finds it annoying to see caches on her list that are pretty much the same finds that she's already had. So some might say that it's an advantage to get more easy numbers, but she finds it as a nuisance. What do you guys think about this? Is there some kind of caching etiquette with this? I in my area, haven't really seen a whole lot of that, but I think that's kind of a stinky idea to archive your caches just to put the same ones back in the same place. Now, I do have to go ahead and kind of confess that I've taken, like, if a cacher has a cache in an area and then he leaves, I may take that same or close to the same area. I've done that one time. I took a cache that was in the area that in a cemetery, and the guy left and moved out of the area, and it's not like he just pulled the cache from there, and he left. And so I placed a cache there, and actually I placed it in his honor, kind of a, hey, this is a prolific, a good high cacher, and he left our area. So I kind of want to, do a shout out to him. So I went ahead and placed this cache there, and it was exactly the same, close to where he had it before. What do you guys think though? I mean, what is this? Is this cheating? Is it, why would you do that?
Hey, X-Punkins, this is Head Hard Hat here. Normally in a case like this, I think this is kind of unusual. In my area, what happens when somebody else wants to take over a bunch of geocaches like that, they adopt them. And that way you can keep the original owner, and then you literally go through the adoption process and take over them that way instead of archiving them and redoing them. I don't know if it's that rampant where it's, a numbers game thing, but it definitely is unusual.
Well, I think too that it's probably partly, I don't think necessarily that they were someone else taking over them. This guy was just archiving his own caches and coming out with new ones. Personally, I don't even log twice my own caches that I went and found. Like if I go find them, by myself and then take the kids or take somebody else, I don't log them again. I may set a note, but I don't mark them as a smiley again.
Oh, I didn't realize that it was the same geocacher. Yeah, that is interesting.
Actually, here in the Chicago area, we've got a hider that is fairly common for doing that. he's got one area where I think he's on his fourth hide that's within a 10 or 15 foot radius of the same place now. And after the second one, even though it's less than 2 miles from home, we actually haven't gone back to refind them because we know where it's at. We've been there twice before.
Yeah, you know, I think...
How long has it been since... One thing that I'm wondering is how old was the original cache? Was the cache there 2 and 3 years ago and nobody's found it in a year, so he archived it and maybe changed it? Or is he just archiving them and just reactivating them? Because, you know, around here we have caches that get what we call stale, where nobody is finding them anymore. So we don't archive them and then re-put them out. We usually try to swap out with somebody. Hey, I've got one that's old. You've got one that's old. Let's archive these two and swap locations.
Yeah, it sounds, as far as the email goes to me, and the way I took the email is that they're in the same area, and it almost sounds like he, you know, he's just archiving a lot of them maybe to get his numbers up there. I don't know. She didn't really go into a lot of details. I could probably do some more digging because I actually know her cacher name, but she said she preferred not to have that publicized. But, you know, I don't think that this is a good idea. I guess, again, it's all kind of up to you how you want to play the game. But if you're just doing it for numbers, I don't think that that's even really fair, because it's one of those things that if you've already found them, why would you want to go back and find them again?
I actually have a question. I thought there was isn't there like a limit to between caches?
There is on active caches. So like if I had a cache placed at a certain location and then you wanted to place one, it does need to be a tenth of a mile away. However, that if you archive your cache, you can place another one right back there because it's not an active cache.
Yeah, I would say.
Okay.
I would say that that's a form of cheating just to get your numbers up.
Yeah, and how many caches would it take for you to even, you know, have it affect your numbers at all? So it seems like it's an awful lot of work to go through to upgrade your numbers.
Yeah, besides, it's not about the numbers. It's about, the experience.
No, someone had mentioned in the chat room, too, could it maybe be a new cacher? And the cache is getting muggled, and he thinks it needs to be relisted again. You know, I don't know. To be 100% honest, I don't know if the cacher is a new cacher, but it didn't sound like it was, because it sounded like they said that they are archiving most of their finds or most of their hides. And so I think that it's probably one of those things where it's an older cacher, someone at least who has several caches. You know, they don't say how many caches, but they did say that they archived most of the caches that he had. And so I would assume that he has at least more than two or three.
You got to be curious to what, if you find out more from her. You know, I wonder if it could just be that he had, say, like three caches in a park. He archived them and then put out different caches that are fairly close, but maybe they are a little different. I'd be curious what you hear from her.
Yeah, that is true. I think that, you know, I know around here, like you said, if they're in the same park, that, you know, usually parks aren't hugely big. And so, you know, maybe there was an issue with the cache. You know, I've had issues where there's maybe the cache went missing in a park and then I archived it and created a new one. That could be, you know, I guess seen as the same type of thing, but usually you don't find that on caches that are all of the caches. I wouldn't want to go out and find all of my caches or do that to all of my caches and start over again. Now, I also want to talk about tonight. We've got, it's a new year. And so we usually do New Year's resolutions. So we wanted to do a little bit of geocache resolutions. And first to kick that off, we've got some listener feedback.
Listener feedback.
Hi, I'm Johnson98. My geocaching resolutions are to make it to my first mega event and to meet cachers.
All right, so if you guys want to, we're going to talk a little bit about our cacher resolutions tonight. And, you know, this is one of the things that I always like to kind of estimate what I'm going to do. I think last year I had a goal to do to do another cache run and hit 100 caches. And I did that this last year on a cache run in a single day. And that was amazing and a lot of fun. And, you know, to some of you, you've done that a lot and that's no big deal. But for me, that was a big deal because the last time the most that I had found in a single time was 56 or something like that. So for me to go ahead and hit 100 caches. That was actually really amazing. So, you know, and then I wanted to try and get to 600 by the end of the year, and that didn't happen. So I'm going to try and set a higher goal this year, and I'm going to go ahead and go with the 700. I'm going to try to get to 700 total finds. I'm currently at 582. So it's kind of a lofty goal for me. And it's one of those things that, you know, I just do geocaching. I mean, it's definitely an obsession for me, and I don't do it nearly as much as I would like to. And as a lot of you guys do out there, you know, I heard from somebody today who just started it, I think at Christmas time, and has 62 finds. And, you know, I guess it all depends on where you're at. There's not 62 finds locally for me anywhere local. So, I mean, I'd have to do a lot of driving for that. But, so for me, I'm going to go ahead and I want to hit 700 caches. The other thing that I would like to do is I'd like to hit the Ape cache and the headquarters and the geocaching.com headquarters. So those things are definitely doable for me because I've got a trip planned to Seattle this next summer. And so I should be able to hit all of the caches there. So what are your guys' cache resolutions this year? I've seen better in our chat room. I'm just go ahead and I'm reading through some of our things that are put in our chat room. And I see some people saying that they resolve to have caches that are higher quality caches. Someone says that they resolve to have more caches where you have to hike and go get them. That's amazing. And I guess one of the other things for me, I kind of started this last year, wanted to do a puzzle series and like of just a bunch of puzzles. And I only got one out. You know, it was my summer of puzzle caches and I only ended up having one in there. So I have a couple more planned this year. The problem for me is with these puzzle caches is in my area, there's not that many cachers that love to do puzzles. And so I only have like one or two finds on it. And it kind of makes it hard to want to put a lot of work into a puzzle cache when you only have one or two cachers that find it. So I have some of those planned for this next year. What about you guys? What are your cache resolutions for this next year?
Well, I started caching in November, and right now I have 31 finds, and I want to make it to 100 this year.
It's a good plan. I remember my first 100 when I got my first 100, it was amazing. I never thought I was going to get to 100. It took us, I think, over a year to find or maybe even longer than that, you know, to find our first 100. But, you know, it's one of those things that it's great to actually get your first 100.
Yeah.
I think for me, I'm never going to be able to get the high volume of caches just because of my schedule with GeoSnippets. But what I'd really like to do this year is hit more states and possibly another country.
I think also for myself, you know, I saw lots of people that wanted to do quality caches. And they also wanted to do them in the woods. That's also my resolution too, is I want to do caches that are big enough that you can put swag in. You know, I've seen so much this last couple of years of just these little tiny, tiny things that they're great because they're numbers and they're new caches. But I love to be able to open up a big ammo can, hear that, you know, cha-chink when you open the can. And I would love to have lots more of those caches for me to find.
Yeah, that's actually also one of my resolutions, to hide many more quality finds because I've mainly made parking grabs. So I want to make larger caches and that actually take you to some meaningful location, so that people have a better experience when they go out caching.
I think mine is really just to get out and cache again. I haven't cached in some time. Just got busy and would really like to get out and find some more.
I hear that same type of thing. You know, we've said this many times on the podcast that it's kind of funny. We do a podcast about geocaching and we hardly ever have the time to actually go out and geocaching. So that's what, like this last week, it was fun when I got to go ahead and go out during lunch a couple times and hit the trail again. And, you know, that's a good goal to get out geocaching more.
And my goal right now is like to make, an event cache, but I've been having some trouble with that because apparently I want like the main event, since I'm like sort of a new person here, and it's okay if you call me a new, but I thought that you can make event caches to like actually go caching within the event itself, but apparently like you can't do that. I was gonna do an event called Geocache Racetrack. It's around the lake, It was going to be amazing, but apparently you can't do that yet. It has to be a meet and greet.
Well, what you can do, though, is you can organize an event, or even if it's a flash mob kind of event for people to get together at that lake or whatever, and then say that after the event itself, that, you know, you're going to have this kind of an organized thing to do, and that would work.
That'd actually be a good idea.
Yeah, because a lot of times at many geocaching events, they have little activities. Some of them, they may not even have actual registered geocaches. They just may have, as one of the activities, to actually go out and find geocaches that they put out strictly for the event. So, yeah, you can do all sorts of things with a geocaching event.
That, and a lot of times, too, if you do something like that where they're not registered, a lot of the event owners will let you log the cache, the event cache, more than once to kind of say, hey, I found this cache and this cache and this cache, to kind of accurately depict what numbers that you've had with the event. Now, that's all getting up for debate as far as if that's ethical or not. But I would say, you know, if I was going to do that type of a thing and wasn't going to register caches, I would go ahead and do that and let the owners, or let the finders log it more than once. Now, another thing you can do is place caches and not make them, you know, don't actually submit them or tell the reviewer to publish them after the event date. And then you can give printouts of the caches or GPX files to the people who attend. And that way they have the information they need to go find it. And then once the caches log are published, you know, like a day or so later, they can go out and actually log the caches themselves.
Yeah, that's fairly common out here in Maryland area.
Yep, same here.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to change my event to something like, I don't know, Loogie Woogie's first event cache or something like that. But, you know, I was really excited about this because I thought it would be, like, a great opportunity to meet geocachers, because I haven't really met anyone except Johnster98, but, like, we always go caching. And I want to meet, like, a variety of people out there because it would be really interesting.
Well, at a lot of events, sorry about that, Andy. What will happen is a lot of times at events is they give away prizes, and one of the prizes you might want to consider for that is the first to find for the event.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea.
And events are really good ways to meet your local cachers, even if it's just a meet and greet type of a thing where you're getting together at a coffee shop, kind of like we're doing here, and kind of exchanging, you know, knowledge and fun information like that. You know, it's great. I remember my first event, it was a meet and greet type of thing. And I remember I was so kind of nervous to host it because I didn't really know what to expect. I was fairly new. I mean, I had a few years under my belt, but never really hosted an event or anything like that. So it definitely was kind of an intimidating type of thing, but it was good because I got a chance to meet all sorts of new people in my area, people that I had never met, cachers that I had never met. And, you know, I've seen them several times since then and hung out a couple times. And, you know, it's really great to be able to do that. And then, because you have, once you see the log, the names on the log, then you now have a face to put with them and kind of a camaraderie, if you will.
Yeah, that's actually, that's one of my big things for this year. I really want to get into meeting more people in the geocaching community. Like down here, there's a lot of really cool geocaching celebrities, if you will. And I met one because he had a cache in front of his house, and he came out and he saw me looking for it, and actually got to meet him. But other than that, I haven't really met too many geocachers. I want to host my first event, and I also want to make it to my first mega event, like maybe GeoCoin Fest or Geo Woodstock.
The other thing that I want to talk about tonight is the Spot Connect. We talked about that. We brought that up in the news section about this new Spot that now can tether with your smartphone via Bluetooth. What do you guys think about it? I think it's a good idea, but is it? I don't know that I would necessarily use it at a $99 per year activation. You know, I like the idea of having it with my GPS, but I don't know if I would necessarily use it with my smartphone. You know, especially for me, I'm in the middle of Indiana. I don't really go hiking out in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, it does the same functionality as far as the other spots that we've seen before. You can update different networks. You can send messages and texts and things like that. Is this something that you guys would use? Those of you who are in areas where there's a lot more like mountains and where you get less cell phone coverage, where would you guys use this?
Yeah, I would actually use this because down by Florida near Miami, I live in this town named Doral, and there's like a bunch of forests there, and you know, usually some of the caches there that I wanna go find are really like in the middle of a forest, and it's a really long hike, so you know, it would be a really good idea to use that. But
yeah, I mean, that's interesting because I actually live here in the same area. But at the $99 per year, I don't really think I would use it too much. And I mean, the forest, you could take a long way through it, but if you find the right way to enter, you wouldn't be too far from a road. So I think I wouldn't really use it too much.
Okay, it's $99 per year.
Well, and I think, you know, Lisa from Cache Advance is on the chat room with us too, and she says she travels a lot out of cell phone range, so she's happy to have the security of the spot in case of trouble. So I guess, you know, in that type of a thing, it would be a great idea, you know, because especially, you know, if you're caching or, you know, for me, I think I would want, I don't know if I'd want one that just connects to my cell phone to do the updates like that. I think I'd want one that connects to the GPS, so that way I can log the caches and do all sorts of fun things like that. So if I was going to get one of these, I would definitely want to get the one that's attached to the PN60.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea to incorporate it for the GPSs.
I agree.
Xbox, isn't this basically the reason for using this spot is for a lot of emergency kind of situations, for just that you are out in a secluded place? And how would that compare to a free service like Looped, where basically you can send out to Twitter or Facebook or whoever you want your exact location for free?
Well, the difference would be is that if you, for Looped, you'd have to have you'd have to use it on your smartphone, but you'd have to have data coverage. And with the spot, you don't have to have data coverage. Basically what it does is it uses an app on your smartphone to connect to the Bluetooth unit, the spot unit, and then you can type in your messages or do whatever you want, and then it sends it out via the spot unit up to the satellite and back down to the, you know, to their servers. And so that way you could be out of cell phone coverage but still be able to get your messages out. You just basically are using your cell phone as an input device for the spot.
Yeah, I think that really just depends on where you are and what kind of geocaching you do. Your use for it may not be, you may not use it as much in some areas as you will in others. So it really just depends on what you do when you go out caching yourself.
We are coming to the end of our show here, but I did want to kind of open it up for topics tonight. If anyone has anything else that they want to chat about tonight, go ahead and call in 724-444-7444. And our ID number is 7525. If you're already on the call, just go ahead and shout it out what you want to talk about.
I have this one thing to say. Specifically, I was I'm a beginner, and I've heard about benchmarks, but I really couldn't get fully into that. Like, I got the book, The Geocacher's Guide, The Complete Idiot's Guide, and it's a really good book, and I got the little travel bug and the geocoin, and it's really interesting, but the benchmark section doesn't really explain me why the benchmarks are there. Like, who placed those things there? Is it like randomly placed, or is it?
They're actually survey markers, and the government places them there. They're used for surveying in the land and finding out like where land and specific locations for land, because they're a known marker. They're known the location, and so they're for that. Now, as far as like you finding them, it's more or less just a kind of a supplement to geocaching. Cause I mean, really all you're going to do is go out and find a disc marker that says, hey, this is the benchmark. In some cases it's things like the top of a water tower, and which you really can't go up and see the top of a water tower. But like a lot of times you'll find it in the ground. There's a marker, and it's kind of cool. The first couple times that you find benchmarks, cause you get a chance to see these things that you had no idea that were there, kind of like geocaches, you know, you don't know that they're there and they're right out in public. But it's cool to see the benchmarks, you know, and you log them as a found thing. It doesn't count as your geocaching find count, but it is it is kind of a cool thing to do for the first couple times, but that's why they're placed there. The government places the geological survey puts them there to survey the land.
Yeah, so actually I remember hearing about them, but I didn't really know what they were. And actually the other day I was out caching. I was going for my first multi-cache, and I ran into some problems. There was some man sleeping in a golf cart. There was a really big snake. So as I was leaving the area, actually I ran into this big pole that said nature surveillance, something like that. I didn't really know what it was, but now that I know, I think it's actually a benchmark. So I don't know. I'll check it out next time I'm in the area.
Well, guys, I wanted to thank you guys for showing up for our Cash or Coffee tonight and putting in a lot of topics since I was flying solo here tonight in the Geocaching Podcast studios. So thank you guys for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. If you found any value in the content of this podcast, please consider visiting geocachingpodcast.com/support. We realize that there are many places you can spend your hard-earned cash, and if you choose to decide to donate, you'll be given a link to our Plus feed. Thank you. Join us each Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. Our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line, and that's 206-3503-GPS anytime to leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.